And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
As the new year gets underway, the International Lutheran Council and its partners are preparing for the first class of the Lutheran Leadership Development Programme, the LLDP. This two-year certificate program aims to provide Lutheran church bodies around the world an opportunity to develop leaders who are competent in both solid confessional Lutheran theology as well as practical skills in leadership and resource management. The LLDP is a project of the International Lutheran Council working in cooperation with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Concordia Publishing House, CPH, and Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the CTSFW. We are grateful for our partners in this project and are excited to work with them in raising up a new generation of global confessional Lutheran leaders, said the Reverend Dr. Albert Culver, General Secretary of the ILC. We look forward to welcoming the LLDP's first class of students in just a few weeks and pray for God's blessings on their studies. The first class of students in the LLDP will gather for instruction at the Old Latin School in Wittenberg, Germany from the February the 18th to March the 1st, 2019. Future classes over the next 2 years will be held at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis, Missouri. The Reverend Dr. Naomichi Masaki of CTSFW serves as Director of the Lutheran Leadership Program. For more information on this program, including details on student learning outcomes, a description of course requirements, and admission details, go to the International Lutheran Council's website. Tech-savvy churches are bringing in 97% more donations as they turn to contactless technology for their collection plates. The Church of England has been rolling out contactless collection plates across the UK since last September, with churches in London, Greater Manchester, Merseyside and Peterborough at the front of the queue to try it out. According to SumUp, the fintech company behind the card readers, for every 500 church visitors, 35% are looking to use contactless payments. As a result, introducing contactless collection plates means 175 more donations could be made to a church each service where a congregation is 500 strong. This equates to £875 more revenue for every 500 parishioners. SumUp told the Telegraph that the churches using the technology saw their donations double within 4 months of using the digital collection plate. The total digital revenue taken on the new collection plates has skyrocketed since September, and the contactless card readers now account for nearly half of digital donations, such as standing orders, that churches are receiving altogether. Overall giving has increased. It appears that people who were previously not giving, maybe because they didn't have cash on them, are now giving when they have the opportunity, the Reverend Margaret Cave of Christ Church East Greenwich told the Telegraph. It appears the usual cash donations have not gone down, but that we are having additional donations made through the digital collection box. Vicar Dan Leathers of St. Mark's Haydock in St. Helens has also been using contactless during church services. He said, "The contactless option allows those who don't carry cash to contribute to this work of the church if they feel so inspired." Some church collection plates began to go contactless in June 2017 when the Church of England decided to target one-off events like christenings and weddings to increase its revenue. It made portable card readers available to more than 16,000 churches, cathedrals and religious sites, meaning that congregations and visitors could make a donation using their bank cards or phones with Apple Pay and Google Pay compatible with the service. The current rollout sees a digital collection plate passed around the congregation during regular Sunday service, either alongside or completely replacing the typical offertory. It comes up as SumUp found a 540% increase in digital charity donations last year compared to 2017, a method embraced by in London where contactless giving points were introduced across the city last year to generate more donations to the homeless. Contactless use in general has soared in the past 3 years, overcoming any concerns about the security of PIN-free transactions. In 2017, £25 billion was spent using contactless, which was more than twice the £11 billion spent in the previous 8 years combined. The revolution has also swept up pensioners. A new report published by UK Finance last summer showed that for the first time, more than half of over 65s were using contactless cards, compared to two-thirds of UK consumers at large. The Reverend Cave added that although new technology in the church often appeals to millennials, older members of her congregation are embracing it too. She said, "We have a really wide age range, and the oldest member of our congregation is 93. He is amazing, and has certainly used the card reader at some point." Villagers have lost hundreds of thousands of pounds in savings after a musical organised by their church and set for star-studded arena tour collapsed. Members of the congregation of the International Church said that they were told that by donating they were giving to God, but now some face losing their homes after the Christian musical's arena tour was cancelled. Heaven on Earth, based on the story of Adam and Eve, grew from the dream of a local church into a glitzy production starring Carey Ellis and Hugh Maynard, and featuring tenor Russell Watson as the voice of God. But just 3 weeks before the start of a six-month nationwide tour, which included shows at Manchester and Wembley arenas, the show went bust with debts of £2.6 million. It is believed to be one of the largest ever debts in relation to a collapsed theatre production. Among those who have lost out are around 30 people in the Nottinghamshire village of Mansfield Woodhouse, who owed roughly £500,000 between them. Some are said to have remortgaged their homes to help the independent church fund the production. Jessica Oakley, 34, told the BBC that her family donated thousands towards the project as the church were asking for large sums of money to fund the production. Because they did it in the name of God, they were put under the pressure that if you didn't give, you're not being faithful, and God isn't going to be very happy with you, she said. She added, "What's wrong with all of it is it was somebody's dream, and it's okay to have a dream, but don't use other people's money for it. They should never have used people's money." Audrey Beardle, 80, who claims that she was driven to a bank and asked to take out £3,000 in savings, said that as a result of the collapse of the show, some villagers have had to sell their homes. Another former member of the congregation, Lindsay, said that the church leaders thought it'd be a God-given tool to win nations to change the world. She added, "It's a lot when you're sat in your little church in Mansfield Woodhouse, you think it's a nice idea, something a little bit different, but when you hear they want it to go worldwide, you think, that's a bit extreme." Members of the cast, costume makers, those involved in the production of the show, and the arenas are also owed money, documents show. Paul Fleming from the Actors Union Equity said it was unusual for a production of this size to collapse at the last minute, and it has left their members struggling. He said it was an incredibly peculiar, speculative bet for people who have never produced a show before. Despite the congregation being told that God would provide the rest of the money needed for the show, it ran out of cash in late 2017, and the company set up to produce it, Eden International Productions, went into administration. The International Church has also gone bust in the wake of the failure, and the Charity Commission have asked liquidators to keep them informed of developments. Because both organisations are being liquidated, it's unlikely that many creditors will see their money returned. Neither the church leaders nor directors of the production approached by the Telegraph were willing to discuss the claims. One of the directors told the BBC they were very sorry for everyone who had lost their money, but insisted that it was donated on a free will basis. The Archbishop of Canterbury has said that he believes that God communicates with him via letters from people with the gift for divine prophecy. The Archbishop also said that he spends time every day praying in tongues, speaking in an apparently unknown language as part of a spiritual gift. The Church of England's most senior clergyman said that he spends time every day reading through messages sent to Lambeth Palace by people who feel that they have received a communique from God to pass on to the Archbishop. The Most Reverend Justin Welby said that he judged some of the prophecies he reads to have merit. "Part of my daily prayer discipline is expecting to hear from God through people with words of knowledge or prophecies," he said in an interview with Premier, the Christian radio site. "An awful lot of those come in, and some of them, shall we say, I read them and I think, I'm not entirely sure about that. And others you think, oh yes, I can sense something of the Spirit of God in that." He did not reveal the contents of these prophecies or say whether he had it ultimately been proved accurate. He also did not say whether any of his own predictions, particularly his very public warnings about the risks of a no-deal Brexit, had been influenced by any kind of heavenly revelation. All letters addressed to the Archbishop go to the correspondence office at Lambeth Palace and receive replies, but a selection go directly to the Archbishop for him to respond personally. He also conceded that the Church of England could split because of the deep divisions over gay and transgender rights. After the Church could fragment, the Archbishop said he genuinely did not know if the rowing factions of the Church would hold together. He said he hoped they would find a way to disagree while remaining within one body. Conservative leaders and parishes have been growing increasingly frustrated by what they see as attempts by bishops to abandon traditional Christian teaching on issues to do with sexuality and gender. Some have discussed plans to set up a rival Anglican church in England. The Archbishop told Premier that the Bible teaches that Christians should be united within a single church, adding, "My job is to pray for the unity of the church, to seek to help people to find a way to disagree well within one body, and to focus on the two things we're called to do, worship God in Jesus Christ, and proclaim the gospel in deed and word." At least 15 Catholic churches have been threatened with bomb attacks and stabbings, forcing police to watch over services to protect congregations. They all received menacing letters, leading one school to withdraw pupils from all services at the local church. St Mary's in High Green, Sheffield, received a handwritten letter on January the 4th, warning its leaders that they must stop all your services straight away, it said. If you don't, your church will be petrol-bombed while in service. Continue behind closed doors, your congregation members will be stabbed one by one. Blood on your hands, you have been warned. St Thomas More in the Parson Cross area of the city said this week that it had received a similar letter. It is understood that the letters all bore a West Midlands postmark, and South Yorkshire Police said that the West Midlands force was leading an investigation. Police confirmed that 7 churches in the West Midlands have received letters. It is believed that all emanated from the same sender. Father Andrew Brown, the priest at St Mary's, said, "It is quite a horrific thing to receive. I've never known anything like it in my life. The Bishop's Conference wrote to us to say that it was 15 Catholic churches and properties. It is a national investigation." One primary school decided not to send its pupils to an Epiphany Mass, and Father Brown, 56, offered to conduct services in schools rather than ask pupils to come to church. There was a little bit of hysteria arising from panic from parents. The church has gone ahead with its main services since, and he said that the police had told him they would deploy officers to keep a watching brief while services were taking place. "Everyone is stunned," he said. "We don't understand it. We just hope there is no fulfilment of the threat." A woman who attends St Mary's said, and as a child at the neighbouring primary school, said it was sickening and worrying. She told the Star in Sheffield, "The community do feel threatened, and we want reassurance that measures are being put in place and that this is being taken seriously." A spokesman for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales said that the threats were being looked at seriously and that churches have been advised to keep a careful eye on unusual activity and report issues to police if anything stands out. The investigation was being handled by the police's complex crime team, she said. It is understood that 3 supermarkets in the West Midlands region have also been sent threatening letters. West Midlands police said, "We're investigating after several threatening letters have been sent to mainly churches and supermarkets across the region, and officers are aware of a few sent further afield over a period of months." The days when you prayed by putting your hands together appear long gone. Now even Pope Francis is asking his flock to go online instead. In a sign of the times, the head of the Roman Catholic Church launched a new app allowing the faithful to pray with him. He presented the Vatican's latest digital platform, known as the Worldwide Network of Prayer, with the Pope during his traditional Sunday address to tens of thousands of people in St. Peter's Square. The new app, called Click to Pray, will inform the Church's 1.3 billion followers what he is praying for, such as world peace or the population of a country hit by a natural disaster. The hope is that Catholics will join him. Pope Francis, who once said he was a disaster with technology, swiped a tablet to launch the app, turning to the priest who held it for him to ask, "Did I do it?" before the priest nodded. It has been launched ahead of World Youth Day. A Vatican statement said the app would allow the faithful to accompany the Pope in a mission of compassion. And finally, On the day of judgment, when all the believers were standing in line waiting to get into heaven, God appeared and said, I want all the men to form two lines. One line will be for the men who were the true heads of their households. The other will be for the men who were dominated by their wives. God continued, I want all the women to report to St. Peter. The women left, and the men formed two lines. The line of men who were dominated by their wives was seemingly unending. The line of men who were the true head of their household had just one man in it. God said to the first line, You men ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I appointed you to be the heads of your households, and you are disobedient and have not fulfilled your purpose. Of all of you, there is only one man who obeyed me. Learn from him. Then God turned to the lone man and asked, How did you come to be in this line? The man replied, My wife told me to stand here.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.